Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Bishopstown's finest, Donegal O'Callaghan, good afternoon.
I don't know about that. We'd have to contest that. Great to chat to you, Brendan.
How's it going, Donegal? And you are, of course, in our Cork studio. We couldn't prize you up to Dublin.
Not at all. Taking Dorina, that Dorina Allen is away, I think it's right that we have someone in state in Cork to keep an eye on things.
So listen, Donegal, I don't propose to dwell too much on yesterday's match, but like nearly the biggest shock in the Millennium Stadium since you lined out in your red jocks.
It was up there, it certainly was. I think if it was good for rugby, it really was. And to be fair, Wales have, you know, they've been on a roll of 14 losses, Brendan, and they're just too passionate. They care too much about the game. It'd be like us being poor at hurling and football. It's just unthinkable in Wales. So I was delighted.
So you were glad to see that?
I was, because rugby's in a fragile position at the moment, Brendan. Money has come into the game and we're starting to see clubs lose their way, but it would be really damaging if we lost a brilliant rugby nation like Wales. Now, they need to get their act together and it's more off the pitch. They need to put a director of rugby in place and start bringing it through. But when you think of Wales, you think of those passionate performances, and that's what they got yesterday. But to be fair...
So come here, tell me about the money coming into the game and the effect it's having. So there's kind of like it's been part of the Six Nations has been bought out now by kind of hedge fund private equity kind of guys, yeah?
Exactly, and not even that, viewing rights or where the Six Nations lands. You know, there's all talks about next year that it might go behind a paywall, which would be so dangerous for our game. Like, I suppose you grew up around the same time as me, but we didn't see rugby a whole lot. And it was vital that you saw the Six Nations. And I think even if you're not into the game, it's a bit of national pride. So I think it's really important. But I can understand it. I see both sides of it. As a former player, I do want the players to be paid really well. But it's coming at the extent of us maybe eroding the game a little bit. And I think we, instead of working in silos, World Rugby has to look at everyone. And at the moment, you know, we saw Australia struggling. Thankfully, Joe Schmidt's gone in there. But Wales need someone strong to go in and to put them north again.
Okay, so come here, when you look at those current crop of Irish rugby players, and they look younger every year, don't they?
They do, or else
we're getting older. Are they living in a different world from your days?
Yeah, I feel for them a little bit. No, they're incredible athletes, they really are. But I think, Brendan, one thing I was really lucky of our time, I think we kind of caught the tail end of amateur. Like, we were lucky to be around amateur players, and I think the rugby values were still very much alive, whereas when you come into a competitive environment, what we're seeing now is people from school level coming out ready to go. You just look at the conditioning of some of the players. They're in incredible shape at such young ages. So I think and as well, one thing I'm delighted, I think our personalities came across. We were allowed to be ourselves. You know, when I was finishing up in rugby, we were given the one pager for media events, stick to the party line, you know. And I think that you, whatever about being good players, we want to know a little bit about the players as well.
So are you saying that it was more fun in your day?
Yeah, it was definitely more crack. Yeah. Well, sorry, I don't want to take away from it now.
But no, like, completely, no.
Brendan, I remember going into Coppers to actually have to carry fellas back for recovery sessions. And, like, we're not chatting about, like, 40 years ago. This wasn't too long ago. And I worry a little bit about it because there was those bonds that you keep forever. We used to hang around with the opposition team. So you'd play with each other, you'd knock lumps out each other, and then you'd go for a meal and you'd spend time together. And I think rugby, as much as we have to embrace professionalism, we have to be very careful that we don't erode our values in the game, because it's all built on respect, and the biggest one that lines with is the referee. And there, for me, I think our use of technology is putting them under pressure every time to make perfect decisions, and it's very difficult.
Okay, So I noticed there when I asked you about the match yesterday that you could have been critical of people, but you weren't. You chose a positive kind of a veneer on it all. You're like you're not a great pundit in a way, are you?
Because
like,
no.
You're too nice, are you? A lot of the players do talk about, I don't want to go into punditry because I don't want to be criticising guys I knew, and I was that guy and all that kind of thing. Do you have that kind of dilemma in you, yeah?
No, I can understand it, definitely. I made a promise to myself, Brendan, if I was to do it, that I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't say, in rugby, there's a review on a Monday morning, and if I'd say it in that review, I'd say it in punditry. In other words, I'd always hold that about, and I don't like picking out on individuals. I think you look at, you know, players never go out to make errors, and it just, I know it myself. You can have a really bad game and it can't go your way, but I think people at home as well do want insight, and they do want someone to call it and say what they're saying. Like the English game yesterday, England and Scotland, was, I'm not just saying, it was awful, awful rugby. And if you're saying,
but you're on to safe ground get stuck into them.
Come here,
you're, in fairness to you, you're not always safe. No, you've been very critical of Munster in recent times. How does that go down around Bishopstown and the wider Cork area?
Not great, to be timed. And I'll be honest with you, Brendan, when I do stuff like that, I promise you, it hurts me more. I love the place. I am so grateful for everything. Like, Munster rugby shaped me, really. It really did. So, like I said to you, I would say nothing in those conversations afterwards that I wouldn't say to any of the management or players. And to be honest, it was kind of... It was good when, you know, one of the times I was a bit critical, you hear, I know it's an ex-teammate, but Dennis Leamy, who's within the environment now, saying, no, that's fairly spot on. So, look, I think what I'd always, one of the values in Munster is to be honest, and I would hate that I ever stepped away from that and not called it. But yeah, you're right, it can lead to some awkward conversations, but... look, that happens sometimes too.
Yeah. And of course, you're a coach yourself. Now, are you coaching Simon Zebo's kids, yeah? Are you into your Alakadoo years now, Donegal? Did you ever think you'd be one of those guys around?
You know what? I'll give you a laugh, Brendan. Like, when you finish up, you try to give back, and everyone looks to find the perfect place within their environments. And I look at Paul O'Connell there off coaching the national team. I'm tying laces for the under-10s, you know what I mean? And stopping kids digging for worms on the main pitch. So we all find our lane. I'm coaching down in Cork Conn, and that's my slag. Jenny will go to me, how did the session go, and I'll go, not bad, I tied 7 pairs of laces today. So, but I think it's important, and yes, I am coaching Simon Zebo's kids, Jacob and Sophia. And I'll be honest with you, Brendan, if Simon Zebo defended like his daughter Sophia, he would be up there with, honestly, he'd be up there with Brian O'Driscoll is one of our greats. She is fantastic.
I think Zebo said in an interview he'd prefer if his kids were playing badminton than rugby if he had his way. I don't think that was a slight on you and your coaching,
well,
was it?
Well, we took it that way. We definitely took it that way. We definitely took away from that. We'd have a look at the session plans. But it's very easy for him to say, sipping a coffee on the touchline. We need to get him involved one day, maybe on finishing or stuff like that. But I can see his concerns as well, a bit like us all. I think what you see yesterday, Brendan, is the professional side of it. And I do worry that we're scaring an awful lot of parents. I promise you, at grassroots level, rugby is an incredible game. It's an incredible safe game where you teach the fundamentals really well, so everyone is safe, and it's all about having fun. And like, I see what
is there an emphasis on skill rather than like I was just thinking, any mother watching that knock that was it Andrew Porter got the way his head went?
Yeah.
No, he was hit by a chest, like. But any mother watching that is going to be, no, my son's never getting on a rugby pitch again.
Absolutely. But I suppose it's that is the professional end of it. I can promise you, like, I'm down there at grassroots level, and what we're teaching is nuts and bolts. Like, honestly, there's 3 things for tackling to make you safe. If you get your shoulder socket in their pocket, if you get cheek on cheek, your cheek of your chin on the cheek of their bum, and a ring is still and you're safe every time. So what you hope then is for good behaviours out of the senior or the big window stuff so that young kids can see it and want to stay in the game. Because, Brendan, my greatest fear is that we lose players that should be playing. And I see that already at kind of college stage. We're losing an awful lot of players that should just be going out and having fun. It's great if you want to...
Yeah, but we know what happens at that point as well, is that a lot of guys go into college and suddenly everyone becomes gargantuan. And it's, again, back to their mothers are saying, listen, you've played enough rugby now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a level for everyone. I think you should still play for fun if you enjoy it. And I'll be honest, the clubs need young boys and girls still playing the game. I think, you know, like Brendan, no one is giving us credit for what we're doing. If you look at the moment at the size of Ireland for how well we do, you know, like we are constantly up there at the moment. And like, I'll be honest, why is like Doug Howlett about it? You know what I mean? Our rugby players are the fellas that didn't make it are hurling and football. And weren't bothered playing soccer, you know. So, yeah, we do really well. But I do think that I think you're right. I think it's important that we try to hold on to them. And of course, it's brilliant if one or two make it and run out like yesterday. But also, the game should just be about having fun, building bonds.
Are your kids keen on rugby?
Yeah, two of them are. Robin, my little girl, and Jake play. My two eldest girls don't play. I think they make bad associations with. Seeing me needing stitches, coming back with broken noses, or the biggest one, smelling of rugby, which is never any good. They don't want to smell of rugby, but the other two love it. And I would encourage them like that. I'd be a bit like Simon. You want them to... I do want them to learn the values from it. I do want them to learn, even in those moments, you have to show respect for the referee. Even if you don't agree with the decision, you have to put your hands up and walk back 10, because... As we all know, life isn't fair sometimes and you have to learn it.
Okay, yeah. And listen, I suppose you understand more than most, don't you, the importance of coaching kids, because your dad died when you were very young.
Yeah.
And I think your mother sent you off to rugby for a bit of kind of discipline, life lessons, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. My dad passed away when I was 6. So there's, five of us in the house and my mom was 36 with 5 young kids, you know, from 16 down to kind of 4 and 4 young boys or men. And I think that's why my mom put us into the game. It was that discipline, but also the bit, let's be honest about you, I think we can't take away that rugby is a physical contact sport, and she identified that we needed a little bit of that. We need the rough and tumble, but we also need to be able to put on a tie after the match and, you know, stand up and say a few words about the other team. So it's funny now though, Brendan, I've been playing rugby since I was kind of 7 or 8, and I go to games with my mum. She hasn't a notion, but she loves it, and it's amazing that she just saw that. You know what I mean, will give maybe, I don't want to be harsh, but male influence as well. I had coaches, lucky to have coaches that kind of took up that role, and everyone was kind of doting at me on a young age, whereas my rugby coaches gave it to me straight that I wasn't good at this and I need improving or to move and get going. So yeah, it was great. I'm honestly really thankful that my mom put us into it.
And then I think your older brothers are kind of good role models as well. Your older brothers are the reason you don't drink.
I suppose I had two older brothers that didn't drink. They worked in bars when they were younger collecting glasses, and I think, Brendan, they just didn't like the effects of drink. They probably see people come in and over the course of work in the evening see how it affected them, and they just thought it wasn't right for them. And then I'd kind of older brother who drank a bit, and I saw him kind of going astray every now and again, and I kind of thought, you know, I was really lucky, Brendan, that I never needed that kind of something to bring out.
No, I think you were born about 3 drinks ahead of everybody else.
Well, it's a lovely thing to have said. There was times with my teammates where someone like Peter Stringer would be sent home on a night out, and they were like, no, he'll be all right, he'll forget everything as well. So I think it was definitely an advantage in our time playing, because like I said to you, there was a social side after matches, which I don't think probably exists anymore. They pick their nights out now, as opposed to our vintage, we're probably going out after most games.
Yeah. So you had the edge then for the next 3 days, probably, just the next day. Like.
Brendan, everyone was there. Yourself and Stringer were very fit. And I now think we weren't fit, we were just sober. You know that way? which massively helped around the environment.
Yeah. And I will just say there, if there's anyone's lawyers listening, there's no suggestion that of everybody course. Else wasn't of upstanding character and sober as well.
Yeah.
Listen, the final of Ireland's Fittest Family last night. And Donegh, I know. It was a poignant series this year, wasn't it?
It was tough. We lost young Killian Flaherty, who was an incredible young fella. People may have read about it, but 15 years of age and tragically passed away so young. And I think, I was lucky enough to be around the Flaherty family and Paula and Cian and their little girl Heidi. What an incredible family. And it's just unthinkable, really, Brendan. But in ways, I think it was great that we got to see that show, because there were so many times that Killian kind of revealed himself a little bit for 14 years of age, and just the bonds with that family, I think, were incredible. And just, I know it might seem a bit harsh, but just the way the whole thing was handled by the likes of Animo and Kite and on RT, they put the family first every time, and it was the Flahertys. And it was tough. I think it bangs home. We all want to kind of have, you know, those incredible moments in sport or in life, but just being around each other and making time, because every moment is precious.
Yeah, and there are the memories right there. Yeah,
absolutely.
You don't know when you'll need them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, Davey won. I'm kind of glad for him, because I say he's very, is he very intense about it? Like, he takes it to heart, does he?
Yes, absolutely. Davey and Anna. And to be fair to him, I think this year, I don't mean to be disrespectful to the families, but all the families were quite even, if you know what I mean. And that's where the best coach came out on top. I'd never say it to his face, but he to be fair, when you need someone to get a little bit more, and I'm on about stuff that isn't talent related, Davey can hit this emotional toy, and I think that's what he did, to be fair, and he came out on top. So I'd say
if he was doing the under 10s up in Conn, it would be the same register. Like, to be as important to him.
Absolutely, yeah. Brendan, but I get such a giggle out of it. There's times after events where the family aren't too bothered, it didn't go their way, and they're heading away off getting a bit of food and having a shower, and Davey's there on a hay bale nearly, you know what I mean? You have to go over and say, and he's there, I should have helped them more, I could have given them more, and you're there. He's just, to be fair, honestly, he's all heart. He's all heart. And I know we spark off each other every now and again, but I think, he's one for people to do well is quite incredible.
So listen, Donegh, you're gone from 2FM 6 months. You're still doing stuff on TV, I know. Do you miss radio?
Yeah, I do. I do. I did a bit the other week for the match with the BBC, and I didn't know how much I missed it until I did a little bit more. And that it is difficult. And I'll be honest with you, Brendan, I came in with... Oh, I don't mean to sound overly harsh, but nearly an arrogance that it seemed really simple. And then I got absolutely humbled within the first few weeks. I love listening to your show, but no one knows the amount that goes on around it.
Thank you.
Yeah, but honestly,
thank you. I hope my mother is listening. She realizes that now that I have a job.
Yeah,
I do work.
You do think you honestly you put up the microphones and it'll just happen. It doesn't. You know, we used to have a bit of a joke that it was all day breakfast, because you're keeping on top of everything. And look, I loved it. It was brilliant. I had a brilliant group. You know, between, and you know what, you're only as strong as your team. It's so funny, sport or whatever it is. When you've a great team, you can really
absolutely
enjoy it. I loved it.
Absolutely.
I loved it.
Yeah. So yourself and Tommy Bo have a podcast now, the offload.
Everyone has a podcast now, Brendan. Podcasts are like the yo-yos of the 80s. Everyone's at them. Yeah, myself and Tommy have jumped on.
Go on, right, Grant. Tell us, why should a person listen to this one and not the other 5 million?
Exactly. I've no idea. Look, I'll be honest. A big drive for us was we thought an awful lot of the rugby podcasts were very journalist heavy. It was kind of matter of fact. Whereas we know from being in the environment, governance. It's great fun, and I think we want to kind of get a little bit that a bit of that across. It's probably an insight into the dressing room. So I'll never forget it. Ian McGeachan, a brilliant Scottish coach, took us on the lines one time, and I remember him saying to us, "You'll throw the medals in a drawer, lads, and you might put your jerseys up in the clubhouse wall, but you." The relationships is the gold, and I think that's what a group of us have. You know, the likes of myself and Tommy and a few more. You like whatever aside about doing well, you just have a great bond that you hopefully can keep going.
Yeah, and you're taking the in even more hubris. You're taking, not only is your podcast, you're taking it to the Olympia Theatre.
We are taking, the offload is live in the Trio Olympia on Wednesday, the 5th of March. And I'll be honest with you, Brendan, we have stood in front of a hacker. We played in Croke Park five times. The two of us have never been more as nervous in our life. So we know we're out of our comfort zone a little bit, but we're looking forward to it.
All the alakadoos used to have to do was show up after lunch, like when everyone was drunk, and tell a few stories. This is this on another level, isn't it? So what can people expect? Or is that question a bit previous?
Yeah,
do you know?
No, I'll be honest. I know this sounds nuts, but it's the vulnerability, Brendan. You mentioned in the jocks. That's exactly what it feels like all over again. You know, I think both of us know our lane, but I think we want to give an insight into the kind of game. It's going to be a massive week that week. So we play France on the Saturday, and you know, fingers crossed, you know, that's going to be telling towards the championship decider. We're 3-3 at the moment, but if we could, after winning a triple crown, that would put us in an incredible position. We want to tell a few stories. We're bringing on a few teammates, and we've a special guest. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's so funny.
I haven't signed the contract yet, Donica. So.
You're always welcome. You're absolutely always welcome. If we honestly, if we can't get Doreen Allen, you're in.
So come here. I just wanted to go back to something that you alluded to earlier. You were saying about like much better crack in your day, you know, and like you had this extraordinary high level career, succeeded on every level, and like, you know, you wear it very lightly and everything. But I saw somewhere that you wrote a kid's book there before Christmas, Disaster Dad.
Yeah.
A memoir, essentially, I believe.
100% is more factual than my autobiography.
But the autobiography, I believe, you went back and read it before you wrote this book. So it's from 2011.
Yeah.
And that you barely recognised the person you were.
Yeah, well, I recognise them, but I'm kind of glad they're boxed off, Brendan. I know this seems like a really silly thing to say, but the opportunity to do an autobiography came for me while I was still playing it. And I know that's not a reflection, but I'm so glad I did it, because I think it bookends the rugby player. And I'll be honest with you, that guy was ruthless. That honestly, I nearly see them, view him as a different person. Professional rugby player me would, and I don't mean to be harsh, but I would stand on you to succeed. I would do whatever it takes. And the only person that was important was me and the team, you know, my tie into the team. So I know that strained an awful lot of maybe relationships with family and stuff like that, because you're just so ruthless. So I really am glad to have joking apart to look back and nearly box off that kind of competitive animal. I kind of still know he's there. It's you know, the way everyone's playing paddle at the moment.
Oh, yeah. And fastest scoring sport in the world, as they keep telling us.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I believe Johnny Sexton has a second career now as a competitive paddle player.
No doubt he's going to be the best Irish to go to the next Olympics for us.
He's lying awake at night every night thinking about his paddle match in the morning.
There you go. But I can't do it, because I know I'll kick that cage again. I know I will, you know, I'm glad. It's amazing. I listened to you yesterday chatting to Richard Hogan about, and his points about, you know what I mean, keeping parts of yourself. But I think I nearly went too far that side. I was so selfish that now I nearly, like, the massive focus for me, Brendan, genuinely has been a great dad. You know, like you mentioned.
Okay, but just to do that, that's interesting, right? But so A, I'm thinking, A, did you not have to do that?
Yeah.
Is that the only way? Because I remember saying to Sexton, like, you know, the book is so intense, his book, and, you know, you really were, like, the anxiety levels were massive and everything. And he says, Yeah, but if you ask most of the guys, they're probably like that. Like, yeah. They're not unusual.
No, I had to be like that because I'll be honest with you, Brendan. I was, and I know this, and you might say I'm being harsh, but I was lucky to be in the room. I had to work my tail off to be in the room, and I knew it. So I couldn't miss a beat. I remember really early having good
so never like 24/7 like you're
yeah pretty much, yeah. Like I remember coming into World Cup and Jenny making the point that, you know, we hadn't gone out for dinner in months, and I know that sounds nuts, or maybe you're kind of giving it the stunners being tight. It was that I couldn't control it. I couldn't control the food or the proportions or whatever it was, and I was mildly obsessive about it, and I think I had to be. I look at people in our dressing room, like the talents, the Brian O'Driscolls, the Ronan O'Garas, and I used to be envious of them in the dressing room before the match. In fact, I used to get cross with Brian in my head. I'd look at him being nervous and I'd be there, whoa, what I wouldn't... He'd like, how are you nervous? You know what I mean? Like, I can understand why I'm riddled with insecurity over here. I'm blagging this. Well, you're one of the greatest talents we've ever seen. So I think that paranoia, looking back at it, it's useful sauce to have for driving, but it's not the best way.
But the second question then is, and you're going back to what Richard Hogan was saying yesterday about the parts of us that we put away.
Yeah.
Does it not need some kind of outlet? Like, is Cuddly Donica going to crack one day? I don't know. Like,
absolutely.
Go postal, like.
With Simon Zivo on the side of an under 10 stitch. I can see it all coming to a head. Do you know what? I don't know, Brendan, is the honest answer. I don't think so. I think I'm true to what I am all the time now. Of course, like you mentioned those bits with the punditry and calling it straight. I think I still have that with my close friends. And I know there's, teammates of mine that would call for, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Can I get your take on this a little bit? So it's probably having in the balance act. But the greatest difference is I'm Jenny and the kids first. Whereas I swear, I used to be making my breakfast. So Brendan, this was one of them that I remember I was doing conditioning games, which is kind of fitness in the morning. And I was preparing my own breakfast before I'd fed my kids, because I knew in, you know what I mean, 2 hours time I would be doing this horrendous fitness drill, and if I wasn't fueled I was going to underperform. And just being that selfish in those moments that you think of you first, I knew at the time I had to do it, but I don't like it, you know, that way. That's not
so basically
who I want to be.
You're going to be making up for a top-notch rugby career for the rest of your life.
That's
really
exactly,
aren't you?
It.
It's about making amends from here on in, is it?
Absolutely. But I'm glad of the outlet, Brendan, because I think we all have a little bit of us like that, and I do think it's important that we do find something to scratch it a little bit. No, you're right. I probably don't at the moment, but my focus is really different. My focus is on my family and probably having those kind of honest chats with them, which, you know what I mean, keeping green shoots as opposed to drowned in them, you know.
Okay, well, listen, Donica, you'll enjoy a bit of stress anyway on Wednesday the 5th of March before you go on stage at the Dublin's Olympia Theatre with Tommy Bowe for the Offload podcast live. Potentially, no spoilers, but potentially with Doreena Allen. Okay,
thanks. If she brings the marmalade, we're in.
Thanks, Donica.
God bless.